Today is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. And these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will also be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. After Holy Communion today, the ushers will distribute the All Souls envelopes. Please fill them out and return them by November 1st, All Saints' Day. We have reached, thanks to all of your assistance, we have reached our first goal with our King Supers cards, and so we thank you, and we encourage you to continue using them. There are many feasts this week. Today is the feast of St. Calixtus, to whom we pray every day, St. Calixtus. He was the pope, and he was a martyr. He was pope from the year 217 to 222, so he was pope for 5 years. And St. Calixtus is the one that codified and made a law about the four seasons. So, for instance, we have last month the September Ember Days. And we have the Ember Days in Advent, in Lent, and also at the beginning of Pentecost season. These times of fast and abstinence. This came from the apostles, but St. Calixtus made it a law that we would all do this. We don't have much to tell you about St. Calixtus, except an interesting fact about what took place during his reign. Very malicious and evil emperor was put to death by his own soldiers a short time before St. Calixtus was put to death. The new emperor that came in and that was the ruler at the time of St. Calixtus' death was an amazing man. He was not the one responsible for the martyrdom of St. Calixtus. As you can obviously see, being emperor was a very dangerous position. His predecessor had been put to death himself. So obviously, the emperors were not in complete control of their empire. And so consequently, some of the officials underneath this emperor, Alexander, was his name. Many of them had a seething hatred of us. And so every chance they got, they would have a field day and put as many as possible Christians to death. And this is what happened with St. Calixtus. But this emperor respected us. He was taught by his mother to respect Christians. He liked especially, and he followed as much as he possibly could, our model that comes from the gospel or comes from the New Testament. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He loved this, and that's what he did all the time. He followed that. And there was something else that he admired, especially in the Of course, this isn't true today, but in his time it was true. He admired how careful Catholics were about who they chose to make priests. And so he said that I'm going to do the same thing. The power should be given to those who are able to rule wisely and with a good heart. So that's how he chose his underlings. He had a private chapel, and in that chapel, he had an image of Christ. Now, it is true he had some other images there, but he revered Christ. Not a Christian. And whenever he could, he protected the Christians. Someone wanted to take, it was under him, this was 200 years after Christ ascended into heaven, almost 200 years. And it was under this emperor that Catholics first started to build chapels, because they felt that this man likes us, and so we can build some chapels now. Of course, there were almost another 100 years of persecution, but nevertheless, they wanted to come out in the open, the Catholics that lived under him. And someone wanted to take one of those churches and turn it into something secular. I think it was something with food, maybe a restaurant. And he said, no, we want churches more than we want restaurants. And he wouldn't allow that. So this reminds us, of course, of this Mass today, because it reminds us of Julian the Apostate. We hope you know his story. We are not going to tell it now. But this apostate from the Catholic faith who went back to the religion of the pagans, he respected us also, even though he had given up the faith completely. He respected us because of the reverence that we have for the dead. And for several other things, like he said, he respected Christians for their bearing. They are respectable people. And this man, just to show you how good God is, we tell this because this Sunday is all about how good God is. He was like a Judas in more ways than one. Because you remember how our Lord treated Judas before he betrayed him? He tried to convert him right up to the very last second. And so he said to Judas, Judas, you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? That's how good he was and is. And so with Julian the Apostate, he went into a pagan temple one day. And this pagan temple was, of course, filled with demons. And they showed themselves. They came out. It was extremely frightening. And Julian was so frightened by it that he, without even thinking, because he was so accustomed to it, from being a good Catholic, that he made the sign of the cross. And the demons disappeared. And So this was our Lord and Savior trying to convert this man, even though he martyred innumerable Christians. And of course, he refused the grace. But this is what this emperor reminds us of, and we were reminded of him by Saint Calixtus. We also have other saints this week, like, for instance, tomorrow, Saint Teresa of Avila, foundress of Carmelites, or the reformer of the Carmelites. And of course, we have many things to say about Saint Teresa, but we will just remind you of this that we have told you before, and that is that when she was a girl, that she was, or a young woman, I don't know exactly what her age was, she was, of course, very pious, and she was, because of her bad friends, some of them were even her relatives, she was distracted from her piety, from her life of devotion, because of these bad friends. And she warns mothers to be careful of the friends that your daughters have, because of what happened to her. And she says what a sinful life she began to lead. Her biographers tell us that she's not referring to serious sin, but that she merely lost her devotion to some extent. But she says that she began to live a sinful life, and she refers to the novels that she was reading and her vanity until she was brought back to her desire for holiness. The next day, we have told you about Saint Hedwig, this Duchess of Poland. Told you about her in the past, and so we simply remind you briefly of that this was basically the Queen of Poland. That's what a duchess was in Poland. And so as the queen, what kind of a life did she live? She fasted basically all her life. Fasted. She wore a hair shirt. This is the queen. She slept on the floor. And she spent most of the night in prayer. That same day, this is the last of the saints that we will talk about. That same day, the 16th of October, there's a saint that we have never mentioned to you before. We mention it for a couple reasons. Saint Anstrudis, who was a nun, a holy nun. She lived in the 7th century. She was the daughter of another saint, Saint Celeberna. And the story is this. Her mother and her father were noble, and the mother convinced her husband to let her go so that she could begin a convent. And he did. He let her go. And so she took her daughter and she founded this convent. And obviously she became a saint. But when she died, her daughter was elected prioress. Saint Anstrudis. And the only thing we'll tell you about her is that she spent the entire night in the chapel in prayer. Except she would go outside of the chapel during the night And just outside the doors of the chapel, we don't know if it was the vestibule or outside, they say she had there an uncomfortable chair. And she would sit in that chair and take a little rest. Then she would spend the rest of the night back in the chapel. So those are the saints we want to mention today. There are some other great saints this week. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, St. Luke on Thursday, St. Peter of Alcantara Friday, and St. John Cancius on the 20th on Saturday. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness on high. Therefore, take up the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and stand in all things perfect. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of justice, and having your feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace, in all things taking up the shield of faith with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the most wicked one, and take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that is, the word of God. Please stand for the gospel. Holy gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, Chapter 18, verses 23 to 35. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable: the kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who desired to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun the settlement, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And as he had no means of paying, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. But the servant fell down and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And moved with compassion, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But as that servant went out, he met one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hold of him and throttled him, saying, "Pay what thou owest." His fellow servant therefore fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." But he would not, but went away and cast him into prison until he should pay what was due. His fellow servants therefore, seeing what had happened, were very much saddened. And they went and informed their master of what had taken place. Then his master called him and said to him, "Wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou didst entreat me. Shouldst not thou also have had pity on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his master, being angry, handed him over to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So also my heavenly Father will do to you if you do not each forgive your brothers from your hearts. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So today is the beginning of the end. This is the first Sunday that starts to prepare us for the end of time, the end of the year. And our last battle. And so, we talk today about the courage that we need. St. Paul tells us to have great courage. Even if we have never won any battles up to the present one, he tells us to have courage and to continue fighting. And why? Because God is on our side. Because God is on your side. He helps each one of you. Every single battle that you enter, he is there assisting you. This is how good he is. And so we should have great courage, even though our enemies are quasi-infinite in number. This is the devils, the evil spirits. St. Paul says they rule this darkness. And they are innumerable. St. Jerome says that all the educated people believe that the space between heaven and earth is completely filled with evil spirits. Completely. This is how many there are. How much space is that? We don't know. But it's entirely filled. And of course, they are so much more powerful than we are that we can't begin to have any chance against even one of them. Job says, there is no power on earth that can compare to them. And how much more clever they are than we. They're so clever that in all of our temptations, they never show themselves. Who ever thinks that it's the devil tempting him? And we know that we must believe. We are taught by the Catholic Church that most temptations come from the evil spirits. How often do we detect that they are the ones that are tempting us? So you see how clever they are. We haven't got a chance, except that God helps us. And so St. Paul is basically sending us into battle. And the first thing he tells us is that we must use the truth. The truth is our ally. And what does he mean by this? He means love the truth. Never lie. The instant you tell a lie, that's when you have given up. You've allowed the devil to have power over you. And now he's got you down and he's ready to finish you off. Because you remember that he is the father of lies. And also, we must love the truth in the sense that we must be faithful. Faithful to our promises. Sincere. Always be sincere. That's a lover of the truth. We can't stand people who are not faithful to their promises. All of them. Faithful to their duties. To their word. When they give their word, they mean it, and they stick to it. This is what St. Paul is talking about. And then he tells us about the greatest protection that we have, our shield, breastplate. That's our best protection, our breastplate. What is our breastplate? Justice. So what is, how is justice our greatest defense? You remember what justice is? It's holiness. That's what St. Paul says. That's our greatest defense is holiness. Holiness of life. Our prayer life. Absolutely essential. Imagine going into battle with no defense, no protection. What chance do you have? And especially against a whole army of soldiers that are way more powerful than we are, much more intelligent than us. What chance have we got? And so this is our breastplate, our holiness. You don't have to look holy. You don't have to act holy. No pretending. We don't mean by holiness that God speaks to you, but that you speak to Him. That's holiness. And you speak to Him often. That you practice mental prayer. If you don't practice mental prayer, you can't be saved. Can't be saved. Spiritual reading. Your rosary. The litany of our Blessed Mother. St. Pius X tells us this. To come to the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, as often as you can. Oh, I can only come on Sunday. That's the only day. Whenever you can, that's holiness. That you are giving it your best shot. Remember, at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we are in heaven, aren't we? We're in heaven right now. Not only because we have all the saints and angels around us here in our chapel, because our Lord and Savior is here. So this place is filled. But this is where Christ offers Himself to His Father. That's heaven. Remember, this is heaven. It says it over the doors. It's the house of God and the gate of heaven. And when you pray at Mass and you offer up Christ Himself to His Father, that's Christ's prayer. And so Christ, our Savior, is in you. You're saying His prayer. Not the same prayer that He says. You're saying, you're praying with Him. You are Christ at Mass. Even without receiving Holy Communion, you are Christ. pretty holy. That's living a life of holiness, isn't it? To offer Christ to his Father in heaven. Not necessary to be holy like a saint. You don't have to even have a level of prayer of the saints. You just have to try. The main thing is you have to desire it. To love God with all your heart. Or at least you have to try. That's what it means to be holy. As far as you and I are concerned, that's holiness. And we are told that if we try, occasionally, we might just get a taste that God gives that to us. Occasionally. Gives us a taste of sanctity, even if it's only a moment. We call it infused contemplation. This is what the saints had, infused contemplation. It's a very special grace. And even us sinners can receive it for an instant. It's God praying in us and lifting us up. Not that we are physically lifted up as St. Teresa was and some of the saints, but we are lifted up, we feel lifted up. Just so that we will desire to go to heaven. With all our heart. This is what St. Paul refers to at the end of the epistle when he talks about the shield, or the sword of truth. What's the sword of truth? It's what we believe. It's what we desire. Our hope is heaven. He's referring to purity of intention. Because, brethren, if we keep our eyes on heaven, that's where we will go. Remember how when you're driving, you keep your eyes on the road? Remember that? Always keep your eyes on the road. That's what our hope is. He also tells us that we should keep our feet shod. And that means that we should always be ready to defend the faith and to preach, if necessary, to someone who is willing to hear us. Are you able to do that? Do you have your feet shod? Are you ready to defend your faith at a moment's notice? Or if not to defend it, are you ready to preach it? If someone asks you, what's this Catholic Church? What's that all about? Are you ready to tell them what the Catholic Church is all about? That's what he's referring to. And when he talks about the fiery darts, he's talking about violent temptations. Because many of us, if not all of us, are occasionally tempted by violent temptations. And that's what he says. Be ready for the fiery darts. And what is that? He says what it is. It's the faith. Because in the end, when it comes right down to it, we have to have our faith or we're going to give in to a violent temptation. It has to come to us, our faith. One of the first thoughts that comes to us is, if I don't resist temptation, there's a good chance I'm going to hell. It's one of the first thoughts that comes to us. That's our faith. And if we firmly believe it, then we, with God's help, can resist. We also know, of course, that God will be greatly offended by anything that we would do like that. We don't have any time left, but we'll just say that before we close, that this gospel is all about the goodness of God, infinite goodness. Infinite goodness. He forgives this man who owes him 10,000 talents. We are going to tell you how much 10,000 talents is. But first, we remind you how often we offend him. Because it even says in sacred scripture about how we sin basically all day long. We're always committing, we hope not mortal sins, but we're always committing sins, venial sins, offenses against our God constantly. So many times during the day. How willing would you be to forgive a person that you love if that person was offending you all day long? Every day, a person that you love, constantly insulting you, slapping you. Nothing serious. The person's not trying to kill you, although occasionally he does that too. Are you anxious to forgive that person that you love as God is to forgive you? We don't think so. And yet, we are expected to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Just as often as you forgive us, we forgive our neighbor. Do we do that as readily? And so he forgives this man 10,000 talents. Afterwards, the man won't forgive his fellow servant. The fellow servant owes him about 100 days worth of work. So a few thousand dollars. About one third of a year's salary. So he could pay it off in about 100 days. A denarius is one day's wage. 100 days. About 3 months we could pay him off. He could pay us off. But no. Throw him in prison. Now how much does this man, how much had he been forgiven by his king? $10,000. How long is it going to take him to pay that off? 200,000 years. 200,000 years. And he'll be able to pay him off. And the king forgives him. So in other words, what our Lord and Savior is saying is, it is infinite. You can't pay it back. We can't possibly obtain any forgiveness from our God by ourselves. It is impossible. We can't even pay back what we owe after we're forgiven. How long are we going to spend in purgatory, you and me? And that's how good our God is to us. We had a great story to tell you, but we will tell you some other time. Just don't forget to forgive your neighbor if you want to be forgiven. May God bless you.